and welcome to Saving People Queering Things, the supernatural podcast where aliens aren't real? Question mark? Today, we are pulling up to season 6, episode 9. Clap your hands if you believe. I'm your host, Sam. My pronouns are she, they.
I'm August. My pronouns are they, them.
And question of the day I have for you, August, is do you believe in aliens? Like, for real?
You put aliens in quotation marks? So I feel like I'm going to get judged if I say yes.
Well, okay, I put aliens in quotation marks in the document because it turns out to not actually be aliens in the episode.
Well, I don't believe in fairies, I don't think.
Right.
It's a big universe out there. I want to believe in aliens. So That's my answer. What about you?
I agree. There's so much that we don't know about space that, yeah, I think there's definitely some other stuff out there. I also think that there's other stuff and potentially like weird creatures that we don't know about in the ocean, because we also don't know a ton about the ocean.
Yeah.
There could be a whole world under there. We don't know.
What is the animal that everyone says is like, we had this conversation over the holidays. What is the animal that people think might be, is it octopus? I think it might be octopi that like,
oh yeah.
They're so different. They're so different than anything else on this planet that we know of. That's like, maybe they're not.
Yeah. They're like the one animal that like doesn't compare to any other animal or something like that.
So the answer to, do I believe in aliens? Is I believe in octopi.
Yeah.
Are alien overlords or underlords, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. All right, now that you've met your host for today, it's time to catch you up. If you haven't watched Supernatural recently, here's what you've missed on the road so far.
Forgot I was doing this.
Haha, I was prepared for this part. Sorry, I'm just bragging about my preparedness because it never happens.
Okay, it's okay. When I recap the whole show, it's big picture. We're flying way out.
That's true. All right, first up, August is going to recap the show up to this point. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, I can count you down. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so there's these two brothers and they hunt monsters and their dad's alive and then he's dead and then he's alive again, question mark, and then he's dead. Dean sells his soul because Sam is dead because now he's alive. So now he's alive. Dean dies and goes to hell. Dean comes back because an angel raises him from hell. The angels are like, apocalypse, we would like that to happen. The demons raise Lucifer and then they shove Lucifer in the cage and then Sam comes back, but he doesn't have a soul and Dean is real upset about it.
Very good. I love the ending. Dean is real upset about it. It's a hard time.
It's a prime element of this episode. Well, this season, so.
This whole season. Ugh, it's rough.
Okay, Sam, you are up to recap this week's episode, which is episode 9, Clap Your Hands If You Believe. Are you ready?
Ugh.
You just said you were prepared.
I was prepared. I was mentally prepared.
That's what counts as preparation.
Because this is my least favorite part of the whole thing is having to do recaps in 30 seconds. So I can just bust it out. It's more the mental preparation than the actual preparation.
That's fair. We're
technically not supposed to prepare for this part, I feel like, right?
No, not really. You're not supposed to write a script like cough, cough.
The point some is people that do. It's on the
some
fly.
People choose to write script.
That's right.
And we love them anyway, but
we do. They do well.
The chaos is what we're really aiming for right here. And you know, maybe a couple details about the plot.
Yeah, that's what I aim for. Mostly chaos and with a few details sprinkled in.
Something, anything important or not important, but interesting.
Yeah.
Or not important, but goofy. So
yeah.
I'm going to count you in.
All right.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Sam is soulless and it sucks for Dean and he's sad about it. And the brothers are in this town where there's been a lot of disappearances and there's a bunch of people who think that it's UFOs, and then Dean disappears and Sam doesn't really care about it too much. And then Dean comes back and they discover that it is actually fairies and then they have to defeat the fairies. What else happened?
About it, honestly.
Yeah, and then they had a heart-to-heart on the Impala like they always do.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
All right. I feel like this always happens to me where I'm like, good, 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 good. And then I end too early and I have like 7 seconds left.
You know, you can
left,
just
and then
end.
I'm like,
you can just be like, that's the end. Nobody is timing. This is an audio only podcast. Nobody else knows if it was 23 seconds as opposed to 30. I mean, now they do, but.
Right. I could just end.
You could just end.
I feel like I have to like time it.
You can just
30
be
seconds.
Successful. You can be like, I'm done.
Okay, good. That would be less chaotic. Maybe I'll do that next time. Like, I meant it. Okay. Now it's time for us to pick some music to accompany us on our journey. Here's what you have this week. August, what is your mixtape for the week?
So I'm going with an oldie, very Dean sort of pick for this. And it's Fairies Wear Boots by Black Sabbath, primarily because of the, you know, Dean of it all. I think this, we know Black Sabbath is like a cassette tape. He has several of them. Nope, I'm going to try saying that again. We know that Black Sabbath is a band that Dean listens to. It's listed in Sam's list of cassette tapes back in season one. So I thought that kind of combined with the vibe of this song and the lyrics of this song worked really well for this episode. What do you got, Sam?
I like that. All right. So my mixtape is a song called Haunt You Forever by Sarcastic Sounds. And I picked this song. It just gave me a lot of like Sam's Lost Soul vibes. Not like definitely in this episode, but it's more of like a season vibe of just like Sam not having a soul. And the first line is, I hope every morning you wake up thinking about what you gave up. I hope you're staring down at your coffee, wondering how you lost me.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then it goes on to like, the chorus is like, I hope I haunt you forever.
Ooh, I like that, especially in even the context of this episode, because Sam does not care a whole lot about his soul being lost. Like, we're going to talk about that a whole bunch this episode, but that song works really well because Dean is like, you should care about this. And Sam's like, well, you care about this.
Should I? Yeah.
Nice. Good choice.
Well, that brings us right into our main discussion. Today, we are pulling up to season 6, episode 9, Clap Your Hands If You Believe. And we're doing it through the theme of masculinity, which is really interesting for this episode. My opening thought is I really hate Soulless Sam. It just makes me so sad.
This is going to be really
and
funny.
So upset because I love Sam so much and he's just like such a dick.
Oh my goodness. So a lot of my notes this episode are about how iconic and hilarious Soulless Sam is to me. So we might have some conversations
here.
Because I just wrote down every time Soulless Sam made me laugh because he makes me laugh so much more than regular Sam does. But the thing is, I get it because I don't think I liked Soulless Sam in any of my previous watches. This time watching the show has been like the first time for some reason that I'm finding Soulless Sam like really funny. I think it might be a little bit because of like some other people in the pod squad talking about how funny Soulless Sam is, and I've sort of like started paying attention to like maybe this is tragic but also funny.
Yeah, I think it can be both.
But yeah,
I definitely see the funny points. I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. You have no soul and you have no idea. But it's also like, oh, you have no soul and you have no idea.
Well, then he does know at this point. He knows.
No, but he just like has no idea how to like he just doesn't like empathy and things like that. He has no idea.
Yeah, empathy, which Dean says like 4 different times in this episode where he goes, empathy, Sam, empathy.
Yeah.
It's not a word I thought we ever got out of his mouth, if I'm being honest. You know, I was like,
Dean learns a lot.
You know that thing. It's not just a therapy word, but I was like, that's a therapy word.
Mm-hmm.
Doing with that Dean Winchester.
I mean, it's a big one.
You had to do that.
Yeah. I don't know if he knows how to do it, but he notices when Sam doesn't have it.
That's fair. Okay. This is a left turn, but going back to the theme of masculinity at the beginning of the episode, and I think about like the cold open, like the, which is the two young people making out. Again, I'm like, first off, I have some questions. It's dark. It's cornfield. The blanket they're lying on is filthy. So god awful dirty. And they're just lying on it, making out. And I'm like, okay, that's some choices.
They're teenagers.
Yeah. But like, you're not in the truck. Also,
that's
it's
true.
Dark and dirty. It's so dirty. Anyway, but the point I was actually trying to make was I just couldn't get over the fact that the blanket looked so dirty. I was like,
I didn't even notice that.
I don't know why.
I was just like, oh, this is such a classic little like making out in the woods scene. I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
No, it's fair. The one thing I did notice relating to the theme is that like when the guy hears something, he goes into the cornfield with no backup in the dark, like impulsively. I'm like, and I was thinking about like the whole like this very stereotypical masculine decision.
Let me protect you.
And like, I don't need to make a smart decision. I don't need to make the most safe decision, which would 100% be to leave. Yeah, I thought that was just an interesting thing from the theme, like right out in the cold open.
That is a good point.
And I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of thing in this episode of like I think masculinity in this episode is a really interesting theme because there is a lot of like the stereotypical masculine things, but then there's also a lot of like characters pointing out when other characters aren't following the like code, like the quote unquote code of masculinity, which we're going to kind of get to with Sam and Dean and also with other characters. One thing that is not related to the theme, but that is related to my enjoyment of this episode is that they shoot the intro like the X-Files, and it
Yeah,
makes
that
me
was cool.
so happy. I forgot about that. I forgot that this episode leans so heavily into the X-Files vibes, especially the first, like it kind of falls off after about 10 minutes, but the first 10 minutes
They tried for a little bit.
Yeah, and then it becomes more of like a supernatural episode, which is kind of fair. But like the first bit, the intro music, the way they shoot, even like the eye, the end of the shot on the eyeball, like that's a copy of X-Files. And they jazz the music to kind of make it very similar, indicative of the X-Files. That, and then I also really loved the way they shoot the first scene with these like cut together interviews of all like fully, you know, person facing the camera, close to the camera, talking about their experiences. That was a fun framing device and also feels very like paranormal, you know, found footage, sort of like UFO hunters kind of vibes. I liked it a lot. I thought it was like a really fun stylist. I like when Supernatural does these fun stylistic choices.
It
Have you
is
watched the
really.
X-Files?
I have not.
Okay. I'm like actually just watching them right now. Like just,
Oh,
I've
okay.
only ever seen like little bits and pieces and I'm finally
Yeah, I've
watching the
also
show.
seen bits and pieces, so I kind of know like the vibe and stuff, and I know what the intro looks like, so I could recognize that, but I
And
don't,
Supernatural
I haven't
draws
watched
from
a lot of it.
X-Files a lot, like especially in its earlier seasons. I would say like less so by season six, but early seasons draw on X-Files more. So it's fun to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we go right from the interview, like we go right from all these like interview shots, like confessional shots, to revealing that it's actually Sam and Dean interviewing them. And then they walk away from the last interview and Sam says the
Oh,
bits
she's
that
just
I think
such a
we could talk
dick.
about in the masculinity theme.
Yes.
Because we've seen Sam, soulless Sam, be kind of a dick before, but now he's a dick with like more misogyny.
Yeah, that is what it is. It's very, yeah, it is very misogynistic. And just like,
There's
I
a
don't know. It just hurts me because he's so sensitive when he's has his soul, and it's just like he would never say shit like that.
Or like if he did, because I the Winchesters in general, like both of them can be misogynistic
Oh,
in the
that's
way
true.
that like
Definitely.
they're very masculine oriented in a world where it's really easy to be like an ass about it. But yeah, he's so explicitly a dick and he's not even trying to like understand where this woman is coming from. He just like makes a bunch of snide comments about like glitter and probably got a bunch of
Cats.
cats. Yeah.
It's like implying that you're this like crazy cat lady that
Yeah.
they shouldn't listen to because she couldn't possibly have any valid points.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I think that you're right that he probably would be something that he would maybe think or like internally roll his eyes at this woman, which is not great, but he's very explicit with his dickish behavior.
Yeah.
And
And
yeah,
then
he's not apologetic about it. He's like not. He's just like
he's saying all his inside thoughts,
so
and his inside
dismissive.
thoughts suck. And then Dean like also falls into that trap. Like this, if we're talking toxic masculinity and like impressions of women, Dean also falls into this trap and then goes like he notices that this is off about Sam. He's like, whoa, what's happening? He says, you know, quote, old Sam would have given her some wussified doe-eyed crap, which is also like this backhanded like slam at Sam for being sensitive normally. And like, you know, adding this like sexist tinge to it, which is we've seen Dean do before and is like the one of my least favorite traits.
Well, I think that's interesting too, because you have this moment where D or Sam says this thing to this woman, and then Dean has to like pull him away and be like, what, dude?
What the
I don't
fuck?
remember what he says, but he's like, come on, like that inside thoughts. But then I feel like there was this kind of opportunity for Dean to like have maybe some self-reflection and be like, okay, maybe we shouldn't like say shit like this to people or like treat women like this. And like he could have taken it a different way, but instead then he just goes back to his, yeah, making that comment about Well, Sam, you in the past, you would have given her some wussified, doe-eyed crap. Like, he doesn't take that moment to reflect and change. He just is like, I don't know.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. He gets so close to the point. Like, he's like, there's something messed up about what Sam said. Sam wouldn't usually say that. But instead of being like, that's a bad thing to say, he's like, the problem with it is that Sam wouldn't normally say it. And you're like, okay.
Right.
But nobody should say
it. Right.
Like, it's a bad thing to say. The primary issue is not that, like, this is showing you something's wrong with Sam. The primary issue should be that, like, don't say shit like that.
Yeah.
And then immediately, like, I think it's showing, like, some of the internal inconsistency with, like, Dean's own perception of women, because then he immediately goes into, because, like, we also know Dean gets coded female, like, coded as a woman in a lot of Supernatural. Like, he often is the caretaker. He often is doing the emotional labor between characters and the story. And then they have this whole conversation about, like, caring and not caring and, like, faking it if you don't, like, he starts to give Sam advice of, like, fake it if you don't genuinely care, you have to, like, try. And he shows her, he throws around, like, the empathy word. So, like, he's so close to this, like it's just kind of jarring to get this from Dean, where he's, like, simultaneously falling into these stereotypical masculine trap, and then he's also pushing against them and asking Sam to push against them.
Yeah. And I don't think that he would be doing that if he didn't see this big contrast happening with Sam, where he's like, all of a sudden Sam is acting maybe a little bit more like Dean in some ways.
And just, like, not.
And like, he's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And Sam's just acting, like, uncaring. Like, Sam's just acting, like, even when Dean, there's just this, like, lack of awareness that is unlike either Sam or Dean. There's this lack of, like, caring about people's feelings at all. And, like, even social awareness, like, Sam's got no sense of shame, like, to say things in front of people that even before, like, either one of them might have said it, you know, to each other.
Yeah, back as they're the walking motel. Away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does lead us to, like, one of my favorite recurring references in this episode, though, which is Dean saying, you want to be a real boy, Pinocchio, you got to act the part. And then Sam following that up, which I love when they riff pop culture back and forth, because often you get, like, one of them riffing a pop culture, primarily Dean, and then the other one, usually Sam kind of mocking him for it. And so I like when they actually riff on it together. So he's like, you're saying you'll be my Jiminy Cricket? And then, you know, they just play off of that this whole episode of, like, the idea of Sam as Pinocchio and Dean is like, I'm gonna pull the strings and freaking puppet and gonna make you act like you have a conscience. I'm gonna, like, be your conscience. And yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember I loved the Pinocchio animated movie when I was a kid.
Oh yeah. It was one of the ones that we were allowed to watch.
Yeah, that's like all of what I picture is, like, I always picture the animated version and the little little that Jiminy Cricket. So I was just picturing the little Dean as that little Jiminy Cricket.
Yes.
This love whole that. Episode.
Yeah.
I love that they bring that reference all through this episode. It comes up, like, three different times.
Yeah. And then going, like, after that, when they're continuing this conversation and Sam gets a little bit defensive and he's like, well, I was on my own for a whole year without you. I was fine. And then Dean is like, oh, I don't want to know your definition of fine. And that, I, like, when that comment was made, I keep forgetting that, like, Sam had a full year of being soulless.
Yeah, yeah.
Without Dean.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything about that yet.
Well, like, and the things that we do know are mostly just that he was a pretty ruthless hunter.
They're sketchy.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot, like, when he makes this comment of, like, I was on my own for a whole year. It also, and then Dean's response reminds me also of, like, season 4, because we, like, Sam spent 4 months alone after Dean died at the end of season 3. And that was when he fell in with Ruby and, like, started drinking demon blood. Like, Dean is well acquainted with, like, how Sam does when he's on his own, and it is not typically good. So Dean being like,
and he had his soul at that point.
Yeah, like, he has Dean's suspicion is very, very valid.
Yeah,
and Sam's defensiveness is very funny. It's also very older sibling, younger sibling sort of dynamic there too. Like, I was fine on my own, Dean. I was fine, and Dean's like,
sure.
Like, that's what you said last time.
Yeah.
And then they split up because they're very silly, boys, again, we're talking like masculinity, and like they feel kind of, both of them feel kind of invincible, you know, like Sam and Dean often make choices based on like, I think, their perception of their own safety and skill. And like Dean going to the crop circle alone is an example of that.
Yeah.
Like multiple people have been abducted. Like, yes, right. You are a hunter. You're probably safer than they are, but like multiple people, and you have no lead.
Well, exactly. They don't have any, it's not like they have all this information. They know what they're dealing with, and they've like, they know what to do. Like, they really don't. You're just going in
living on
not
prayer.
Knowing. And yeah.
Like, you silly boy, getting abducted is the most predictable thing that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, Sam at the bar.
Oh gosh, Sam, when, that comment of like, when the woman comes up to him and they're like talking about it, and he's like, oh yeah, my brother was abducted. And she's, oh my God. And he's like, oh, it's fine, I've had time to adjust. And she's like, oh yeah, like, did it happen when you were kids? And he was like, no, half hour ago.
I wrote in my notes, soulless Sam, most comedic Sam, for that comment, because I think it's so funny.
That is a really funny moment.
Like, he's just...
Because he genuinely means it. He's like, yeah, I've had time to adjust.
I've had 30 minutes. Right. and it's also, you know, it's partly because he's soulless, and also partly because this is just their life. Like, this
That's
is not
true.
The first time that they've been abducted or like disappeared. Like, this is a fairly normal occurrence in Hunt for them, which is
right. That's true. Like, if he did have his soul,
he'd say
probably
that.
Still be kind of calm. He wouldn't say that, but he would be like, oh yeah, like, I'm dealing with it.
Yeah, yeah. It just comes out in the funniest possible way because he legitimately doesn't care that much.
Yeah.
He's just thinking about the case at this point. I do think this camp is really kind of cool. Like, this like selection of RVs, and there's all these like alien like UFO truthers. I think the visual of it was really cool. I think the way they set that up, I was like, I am so interested in this little community of like UFO hunters. I wish this episode had actually gone with aliens as the monster as opposed to fairies, because they're doing so many fun X-Files-y mystery UFO aliens things, and then it like sharp left turns into fairies, and then we lose all of the cool alien shit, and I'm a little sad about it. I don't know. How do you feel about like the plotting of this episode and like the fairy reveal?
I think that it's easy.
Yeah, it's true. Aliens are much more, it would be a much,
you know,
more bigger lore.
Like, I agree that aliens would have been a way cooler plot, and they could have like built on that in coming seasons, but that would have been a lot harder to like work on the lore of, I feel like.
Yeah.
So fairies feel like an easy kind of way out.
Yeah, they're more in line with Supernatural's general lore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that's why they did it. I just really wanted it to be aliens.
I know. That would have been cool.
I do love that they do continue to play out with it though for a little bit, like when Dean's back from being abducted and then he's sitting there and he's, aliens are real, what's next, hobbits.
Yeah,
that leads into another, I think, conversation that Sam and Dean have that has a lot to say about like with the theme of masculinity in mind, and that's the conversation that they're having in the motel about like what happened to Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell, how did you come away from that conversation? Like,
well, I actually was not looking at that conversation through the lens of masculinity. But I do have some notes about that conversation in general. And I'm wondering, I want to kind of ask you a question and see what you think about it.
Yeah.
Because when he like is being weird soulless Sam, and like Dean is explaining, and he does that weird thing where he like puts his hand on Dean's leg and is like, safe space.
Oh, it's so,
so cringy.
It's so cringy.
I hate it.
Okay, good. Me too. Actually, stop, please.
Yeah, don't do that. And Dean's reaction is like, what? Stop it. I thought it was funny because Sam is just like so clueless and like just being so weird.
It's like he's a robot. He's like, is this how empathy happens?
Yeah, but my question is, I'm wondering if, do you think that he's doing that like because he has this like maybe like subconscious, even without his soul, like this care for Dean, and he like knows that it's important to like say like to like listen to his brother, or do you think that it is him being strategic, knowing he needs to get information from Dean, and maybe this is a good way to do it?
Ooh, it doesn't work because it's a bad strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, is he trying to actually listen to Dean, or is he trying to get information from Dean? That's kind of what I'm asking. Interesting. Yeah. I had not even thought about this not being genuine on his part. Like, I think that like the way I originally read the scene was that he has taken in the information that Dean said earlier, where Dean was like, mm-hmm. you have to show more empathy, you have to fake it till you make it. And so he's like, I am faking it. I am showing human contact. I am saying that you are safe to share, Dean. And that's all I read out of it. I did not at all think about the possibility that he's actually trying to get information, but I actually think that's a better reading. Like, I think maybe it's a bit of both. Like, I think he's crying because Dean asked him to try. But also, mm-hmm. I think that maybe there is a little bit of the, like, I got to make Dean comfortable so he'll share the information that we need for the cake, because we know he doesn't care right now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I also initially read it as just, like, him trying and trying to be empathetic, but, like, just not knowing how. But then as I was thinking about it more, I'm like, I feel like maybe it's a little bit of him caring, but it might just be more of him, because we know that he's soulless. Sam is very strategic.
Yeah. And Sam in general, even with his soul, is very strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes his empathy is strategic. Like, sometimes Sam shows empathy to people, or like shows this element of care because he is trying to get information. Like,
mm-hmm.
full stop. When he has a soul, when he's fully conscious of what he's doing. And like, right now, he would.
Which is such a great trait for him. Like, he does that so well with his empathy.
Interesting in that way too, because he doesn't realize when he's being manipulative sometimes, because he's like, he's convinced himself he cares, but he's also like, has an ulterior motive, and like, it's one of the coolest things about his character. But right now he doesn't have like the capability of having like an ulterior motive.
Exactly. So I'm wondering if the strategic side of him
all strategy this time.
And it's just being like, okay, I've taken this information, Dean, like, if I'm maybe more sensitive to Dean, then maybe I will get this information out of him quicker, because he seems to be upset.
Yeah, and he's not going to respond if I just like ask the information.
Which
couching it.
He is learning. Right? He's been learning that this is like how people operate with a soul.
Ooh, yeah.
So like, what if it's purely just strategy, and he's like, okay, I need information and this is how I should get it. And it's like a whole game.
Mm-hmm. This makes me also think about like, when we're thinking about masculinity, about like how, like, obviously this is not what's happening with Sam. Like, this is not, I'm not trying to draw a direct parallel, but like the idea that sometimes like people, like men who have been causing harm, will like learn therapy speak. To then manipulate further, or like the, you know, that someone will be like, learn how to show a little bit of sensitivity, because then it gets with them what they want, and it's still a power move. And I think about like that in this kind of context of like, soulless Sam before this is not trying to use any kind of empathy or care as a strategy. He is brute force, he is strategy, he is like manipulation, but in a really like straightforward way. And like, almost like Dean asking him to fake it is asking him to, like, opens the door for Sam to be like, oh, there's a whole new level of,
oh, I can use this.
Mm-hmm. Like, almost very dangerous to like ask a soulless person to fake care. Like,
well, yeah.
Like, and yeah, I wonder, that's something I want to pay attention to, see if that happens more like after this fact, because Sam's a good actor. Like, soulless Sam is like, okay. And then also they have this conversation. In this conversation, Dean's like, I was actively abducted and you were like sleeping with someone.
That part was so funny.
when they get caught by Dean, this is why I think soulless Sam is the most comedic Sam, because
that is true.
Does shit like this and then just looks at Dean like with this like blank stare of like, I don't know what you expected me to do, Dean, like I wanted to, so I did.
Yeah.
And Dean's like, you weren't supposed to go. And Sam's like, well, but I didn't need to. Like,
I did all the things.
So of course I was just going to do the fun thing. And he's like, well, Sam's like, what am I supposed to do? Sit in the dark? You sit in the dark and you feel the loss, Sammy.
And then he's like, well, can't I do that and have sex? And he's like, no.
Weirdo. No, those things are incompatible.
That's not how it works with a soul.
I think it's so funny. It's so funny.
I also think that it's just like, obviously not fully, but I think that it is a little bit funny and a little bit of payback to Dean for like all the times that Sam has had to walk in on him. And it's like, this doesn't happen with Sam. Like, Sam doesn't do this when he has a soul.
Very rarely does he. He would never, like, Sam does have some like one-off hookups during the show when he has a soul, but like never like when Dean's abducted.
Right. Never in the middle of a case or like what they're.
No. Yeah. I think the little bit of payback, I think whether that's conscious or subconscious on Sam's part, that makes it funnier too. If he's like, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, then the next scene that we actually get into is when we find out it's the fairies. It's the motel scene where Dean is attacked by the fairy. They play Ground Control Major Tom, like, which I think, again, sometimes Supernatural just hits with its music, and that is one of the choices. Like, that music choice, them getting that music, it is such a funny, like, to play the, like, that sort of iconic piece of music related to space exploration on top of when we're finding out it's just a little naked lady with nipples.
Right.
Very funny.
It was really funny. I didn't think about that connection.
Yeah. I love the music choice. I was so appreciative of it. And then I was like, right, that's this scene. That's the scene this is playing on. Nipples?
Nipple?
Which,
classic scene.
To be fair, like that glowing little ball of tiny little naked lady with wings. Like,
yeah, I mean,
microwaves it to death.
Yeah, that was such a like.
Just the episode, the left turn the episode takes in that scene where suddenly it's like, oh no, this is not aliens. Clearly this is not aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And instead of like, it's just a funny solution to like, oh, I don't know how to kill this thing. We'll just microwave it. It's small enough. See if that works.
The fact that this fairy is not like, is strong enough to be like abducting people. Like these are fairies are strong enough to be abducting people, but gets trapped in a little plastic microwave.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really funny that it's strong enough also to like, doesn't it like hit Dean or something?
Yeah.
It's like strong enough to make some damage on this huge person, but then not strong enough to get out of the microwave.
You know, we don't want to think too hard about the actual effects of that. Why does radiation work? I guess it worked.
Yeah, I guess so.
But then they solve it pretty fast. Like, Sam basically solves it immediately. It's like, oh, Dean describes it, and Sam's like, oh, it's fairies.
Right.
This all happens in, like, what is a truly iconic motel. This is the motel with this, like, green forest wall background. I'm going to pull the image up so you can see it, Sam, and I'll post it on our Twitter. Like, this iconic, like, forest bat wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
And then these bright green, like, linoleum table, these floral pastel-y green chairs. It's just, like, a great motel. One of the better Supernatural motels that this all takes place in.
Yes. I also, going back to the masculinity theme, once they realize it's fairies and they go back to the original woman that told them that it was fairies, of course they don't apologize.
And they're still dicks to her.
And they're still being awful.
They're just like, we gotta
go get information from this person, but we're not gonna, you know, admit that she was right in the first place or apologize or anything.
Or even show her any respect for the information that she's giving them.
No, they're still mocking her the whole time.
And you're like, she's giving you the real information. Like, who the fuck cares if she drinks tea from tiny little teacups? Like, are you so threatened?
Although, like, she's smarter than you. She figured out it before you did.
She knows a whole lot more about fairies.
Thanks for your help.
Yeah. And there's this, like, really, there's this, the whole service Oberon, King of the Fairies comment has so much, like, latent, like, homophobia in it. Mm-hmm. This particular, like, it's played for laughs in the episode. I think that's one of those moments where I'm really disappointed in the writing because I don't really blame, I don't know, you know, like when we think about like Dean being queer coded and all these things, like they have taken moments like this and turned Dean's queer coding into something for laughs. Like this is not the first time that they've made kind of a queer joke at Dean's expense.
It's also not the first time that they've made a joke about like a man being assaulted.
Yes. Specifically Dean being assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a recurring kind of joke, which is, you know, when we think again about masculinity and like it, there's this, like, they're sort of trying to like, Sam is sort of trying to shame Dean for this potential experience that he's had.
Right.
It's not a good time.
Yeah.
It's not a good time. And then I forgot that because, you know, Fight Those Fairies is sort of like an iconic Supernatural line. Like it shows up in all of the humor compilations. It's very
so
funny.
Many memes.
I forgot that it came right after Dean attacks someone and calls him a fairy a bunch of times, which, yeah, does read as a hate crime in a pretty insensitive way for the writing, really.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that right after you've made the joke about Dean being assaulted, like, it just, it's
the whole series of events is just very, it's very bad, and it's quite disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, obviously, Dean is not using fairy as a homophobic slur.
No, because he's trying to do his job and figure out where the actual fairies are.
But the writers know what they're doing, and what they're doing mm-hmm. is painting Dean as simultaneously, like, kind of a homophobe, but also queer.
Yeah.
And, like, later on, I do think that later on, like, Dean says to the sheriff, like, I don't hate any sized gay guy, which is, like, this half-hearted attempt to, like, for them to, like, be like, Dean's not homophobic, but it reads really badly. It, like, doesn't make up for the fact that they've just made this whole, like you said, sequence of events really, cringy. And I think that's one of my disappointments with this episode, is, like, I think it's going pretty funny, pretty interesting up until this point.
Yeah.
And
it's just unnecessary.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you could have some of these same events happen if you handled them, wrote them differently, and you didn't use them as punchlines, because that's the problem with both of these situations, is they're used as, like, punchlines at the expense of, like, queerness.
Right.
But
yeah.
That moves us into the final fight, though. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm mostly out of my notes, and I also want to hear what you thought about the rest of the episode. I got really caught up on this one.
I don't have a lot of notes about the fight. The biggest note I have was, why was Salt the last choice?
Because Sam is not as smart as thinking.
And I think maybe this goes back to the masculinity theme of, like, of course he wants to try to physically fight his way
punch
through
his
it
way
first.
Out of the situation,
right? Because that's the, like, that would be the traditionally masculine thing to do, is to, like, I'll do it with my hands, I don't need the whatever. But then he does use the salt, and then he makes a comment of, like, why didn't I just do that first?
Yeah, you could have gone and not gotten a beating.
Yeah, like, you knew exactly what to, like, that you could have just done that right away.
Yeah, I do like that little piece of lore that they used. That I think that was kind of a fun touch that made it not so they didn't just have to defeat them with brute strength.
Yeah,
and it is, like, but yeah, I think it again does highlight, I like that point, which goes along with, like, later on Sam says, like, I still have all my brain cells, if anything my brain works better now. And I'm like, no, Sam with a soul would not have been so concerned about looking like the big man, and Sam with a soul would have been more likely to just use the soul. So I don't know.
Yeah.
They get rid of the fairies really easily after all of that.
They do, yeah.
Sam just reads the spell. Like, there's no elements.
Exactly. There's no, it's
spell.
Like,
these are not very strong fairies.
Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think the conversation that he has before the fight with the leprechaun, is it?
Yeah, it's a leprechaun.
About, like, his soul is very interesting.
Yeah, because he offers Sam a deal.
Right. And it's so clear. I mean, I feel like it was so clear that, like, Sam wasn't actually taking him seriously at all. He was just playing him to, like,
stall.
I don't know. Yeah, stall. But then he doesn't tell when they're having their classic chat on the Impala at the end. He, like, how did Dean know about that conversation, actually?
He must have told him.
Confused. So he did tell him. Never mind. My point is not coming through then.
Yeah, they have this, like, heart-to-heart with the Impala.
Yeah.
But it's still, everything's still a little off. Like,
yeah. And the it's so, like, clear that the two of them are, like, not telling each other that, like, neither of them are being honest in this conversation.
No.
Like, Dean is trying to know if Sam is actually wanting his soul back, and Sam's just, like, really playing it off. And
Sam's like, of course I do.
Of course I do. What are you talking about? And Dean's like, I don't believe you. And it's just this really, like, just tense and unresolved.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the conversations that they keep having with Sam being soulless, is Sam being like, it's not a big deal, and Dean getting more and more concerned.
Well, and Sam keeps dropping hints, like, from the first episode of the season, Sam has been dropping hints that, like, I'm a better hunter now than I was before. Like, Sam has made it pretty clear that he, like his abilities now. And and I think Dean's picking up on that and going, like, I am now starting to question whether or not you want your soul back. But Sam won't tell him that, because he knows that's not what Dean wants here.
Mm-hmm.
And he also doesn't want Dean to try to stop him or forcibly, like, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to, like, say about the episode?
I don't think so. I think that was all my notes.
Ooh, I had one more point I wanted to make. Sorry, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
This is a location Logan's point. So a lot of this episode is filmed in Burnaby, which is not too far from where we grew up. So that's kind of cool. But the heart-to-heart at the end is actually filmed on the road between where we grew up and the ferry to the large island where we spent a lot of our like summers. And so when you,
that field
is like near like 156th Street.
Yeah.
When you're driving to the ferry. Anyway, it's always cool when we see something that I've driven like hundreds of times.
Yeah.
It's a nice little like winding country road in between like the city and the ferry terminal.
Yeah. It would be a really great filming spot because it's just kind of like looks like a generic side road.
Yeah. Nice. That's all I had to say about that. That's my last episode note.
I love it. Now that we've kind of wrapped that up, it is time for our final and favorite section of the episode, the characters to watch. Who do you want to watch going forward, August?
I want to watch Sam, but I want to watch something really specific. I want to pay attention to his concept of his own soul, because like he implies that he thinks he's smarter without his soul in this episode. And so I'm curious about like how that's going to play out. And I want to be paying attention to that piece of Sam's like character arc this season. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I also want to watch Sam, but I will pick someone different than you.
I mean, that's fine. There's only really only the two of them in this episode.
I think it's interesting just to watch like both of them go through this because they're like, they're in it together, but they're also doing like dealing with it so separately. And I think that Dean is getting, increasingly more concerned. And I am interested to see where that goes and where his concern takes him.
I think you and I have both seen this season before, but I think watching those threads is going to be kind of fun to keep talking about in the next few episodes, you know? And if you haven't seen this season before, like if you're listening and you haven't seen this season before, I'd be really curious to know how you're perceiving this. Like hit us up on Twitter or on Discord and tell us what you're thinking about, what you're noticing about Sam and Dean's relationship and the whole soulless situation.
Let us know your thoughts.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. This was really fun. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. I love it when we get like a little duo episode with the siblings. It's always fun.
Takes us back to the pilot and the origins of this podcast, just you and me.
Yeah. Wild always that we're fun. Already halfway through season 6.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. Well, make sure that you are subscribed to Saving People Queering Things wherever you listen to your podcasts and to share our show with your friends if you like it. We also have our free Discord server that you can join. You can find the links to our socials and catch up on the latest season mixtapes all on our website, queeringthingspodcast.com.
Amazing. We love interacting with all of you on those platforms. So thank you so much for joining us there. And as well, if you would like more content from us, out now is our, what was intended on being our strike hiatus show and then just kind of continued past the strike, Queering People Saving Throws. So that consists of our main crew, as well as KJ from Supernatural Opinions. And we are taking a dive into a queer D&D adventure led by our amazing Dungeon Master Noah. And those episodes are releasing every other Friday right here on our feed. You can see the first number of those episodes are already out.
Yeah, they are super fun and super chaotic. It's a good listen.
Yes. We would love to hear. We would love to have you join us on that adventure.
Yeah. And be sure to ride along with us next week as we explore season 6, episode 10, Caged Heat, through the theme of bravery.
Thank you all for coming along for the ride, and we wish you a peaceful route until we meet again.